Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
But I'm a creep.
Had to like that in 1992 when it was released, Radiohead's Creep. But why are we playing it today? Well, a 2018 study of the most streamed music by users of different ages found that Creep was listened to by more 38-year-old men than any other demographic. And researchers noted that these men would have been around 14 years old when the song was released. And it concluded that the majority of us, when we are grown men and women, predictably stick with the music that captured us in the earliest phase of our adolescence. Another study of Spotify listening habits found that most people stop listening to new music at the age of 33. And in 2018, a report by Deezer had that at 30. So the question is, do people stop listening to new music in their 30s? Well, to get to the bottom of this, I'm joined by Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin and author of In Search of Madness, and Nadine O'Regan, editor of the Business Post magazine and also music broadcaster. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being here. Nadine, those surveys I mentioned there, pinpointing the 30s as the time or the moment when our enthusiasm for music wanes. Does that feel true in your experience for new music, I mean?
Well, certainly it's true in the sense that it's what I see in my friends and my circle. I've, you know, written about music and been involved in music broadcasting for a long time. I started writing about music when I was 19. So for me, the passion for music has always continued. But what's been really hard to take is that moment. And it was chronicled actually in a recent Guardian article by a man who it almost felt like he had read the inside of my head and just printed it out, because he was talking about how when you hit your 30s, there comes a point where you can't give away your plus ones to gigs as a music reviewer, and you can't persuade anyone to go to the Three Arena with you, because quite simply, other preoccupations have come into prominence for people: mortgages, adulthood, babies. You know, there's a lot of other things that people start to say, well, look, I'm not going to spend the money this year on a big festival because it's simply not as important to me as something else. And in tandem with that, you know, we continue to have our love for podcasts and TV shows and streaming. And that's partly because it's a lot of things that you can do at home. But there's another aspect as well that I think is really important and has crept in over the last 10 to 20 years, which is the sort of music churn aspect. You know, back in the 90s, when the record industry was so powerful, they would only really sign up a very select number of bands. So if you think back to the 90s with Irish bands, you'd be talking about bands like Something Happens and Emotional Fish, U2, of course, The Pale. And we would all be sort of very conversant with these bands. But now, if you're talking about Irish artists, there is an explosion of Irish artists on the scene. And that, in a way, is a really, really positive and brilliant thing. Artists like Seamat, Mick Flannery, Susan O'Neill. But it's also befuddling for people. There are literally too many bands.
It's just really hard to keep up with it. Brendan, are you a music fan? And do you listen to new music now?
I'm a music fan. I listen to a lot of music. I think the reason that Creep is so popular is because it's a great song. It lasts through the eras. Now, I might be simply proving your point by saying that, like all these men who still like it. No, I am a music fan. My tastes did tend to narrow in my 30s, and I'm 49 now. And there's a lot of research that says taste begins to settle down even in the teens. And there's a bit of change in the 20s. But by the 30s, you're pretty much on a track that, unless you make a conscious effort, which becomes a little more difficult with age, unless you make a conscious effort, you're going to remain rooted, particularly as old songs, say like Creep, they pick up emotions, they pick up memories, they become very, very powerful. And these are real and these are not bad. But it's also good to try and shift track a little bit. The difficulty lies with having too much choice often nowadays, with streaming services offering essentially infinite choice. Mm-hmm. And back in 1970, a futurist called Alvin Toffler spoke about overchoice, which is the sort of paralysis that comes when you can pick almost anything from a range of options. And he made an interesting observation that that paralysis applies to yourself, but other people, if they've infinite choice on your behalf, will make some really interesting choices. So one of the strategies is to ask other people to create a new playlist they think you might like, because other people navigate this infinite choice for us better than we do ourselves.
Isn't that what Spotify does, though? It comes up with a selection of new music that you might like, but I find that it's quite demanding of my patience and my time to listen to that when I'm not familiar with any of it.
Yes. So, I mean, Spotify does this by an algorithm. It does it very well, but algorithms have limits. You know, we like to think that algorithms and big tech companies are all powerful and they understand everything. In fact, they're very mechanistic. And what we need is a human being who knows you to make a playlist. In my case, the obvious choice is my two children, who create playlists for me with what I will call varying degrees of success.
I was going to ask you how that goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of Harry Styles appears in one of them very repeatedly. And I mean, this is interesting.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Harry, because we got some Harry for you to listen to. I know you're a big fan. Let's take a listen to Harry.
In this world, it's just us. You know, it's not the same as it was. As it was. As it was. You know, it's not the same. Answer the phone.
So he's going to be in Slane next June, 2023. Will you be there?
No, I won't be there, no. Mind you, many years ago, I did get some very prized tickets to a concert by a group called A-ha, whom I liked very much at the time. But Harry Styles doesn't really work so much for me. And what's interesting about why he doesn't is that everyone likes him. He seems terribly nice. It's very hard to find anything to object to, either in his music or his lifestyle. And his concerts are filled with sunshine and love and everyone shaking hands and everything being terribly nice, which seems not to fulfill one of the roles that music used to fulfill, which is that of being deep and challenging and a little bit dangerous. And I'm just not feeling that. But maybe that's because I'm 49.
So are you saying to your children, your music choices just aren't wild enough for me?
Well, what I'm saying is that I struggle to see the difference between a lot of songs by some of these newer artists. And there's a lot of biological evidence, interestingly, to support this, because our brains change as we age. The brain cells, the chemicals, the way they work. And apparently we become less good at differentiating between chords that we haven't heard before. And that's why new music often sounds all the same to the older ear.
That's so interesting.
There is some biological basis for it. But while our brain will never be as open or changeable as they were in adolescence and teenage years, we can still change them. So making a little bit of effort overcomes this and is really good for us cognitively. New things are so good for us in terms of keeping our mental ability, our mental agility into later life. You know, iconically, we should all be learning Chinese in our 70s. But look, we're not going to do that, most of us. But maybe we could challenge ourselves a little bit more with different music or different TV or different movies once we make the effort.
Okay, so Nadine, do you find that you have to challenge yourself to listen to new music? I mean, you have to do it because it's part of your job, but do you have to push yourself a little more than you used to?
I think it depends on the albums that are out on any given week. And, you know, if grime is in as a genre, then maybe it's a bit more of an effort. But having said that, I genuinely love like discovering something amazing and then feeling like it's a prize that you would hug to your chest that you've got like a new song that you think is incredible. So, I mean, I'm still very, you know, invested and I don't think age has been a true factor for me, probably because I just had that growl for music from such a young age. Like it's like the first thing I can remember being passionate about music and trying to read. I was obsessed with books. But I mean, one thing I would say to add to those points is that, you know, I do think that the culture in Ireland predisposes you away from music as well at a certain point, because I think the way we promote and publicize festivals is actually quite ageist. I mean, if we look at any festival promotion of any big festival, it's all about glitter, denim shorts, 20-somethings yelling. And like I've been to festivals in New York and in other countries where, you know, people don't lose their minds and throw off all their clothes when they're going to go see a band. The focus is still on the band and not on the me culture of the individual, where oftentimes you go to a festival in Ireland and you notice that half the audience have their back turned to the band because they're taking a selfie. selfie. So it's actually more about the promotion of them as an individual on Twitter or Instagram than it is about them genuinely taking in the experience of an act. And that's because that's the kind of culture we've promoted over the past number of years. We sort of say festivals are for young people, not for older people. And I think that's really unfortunate, because it actually almost tells you as you go into your 30s and 40s that you're not supposed to be there. There's a very strong cultural signal that that sends out, and I think it's really a shame because it doesn't exist in the same way elsewhere.
Do you feel that you can't go to festivals, Brendan?
Oh no, I feel I could. Glitter, denim shorts and throwing my clothes off are totally me. I might be a balding middle-aged man, but I still, you know, I'm not actually dead. I've never been terribly fond of festivals to begin with, but I am very passionate about music and used to play quite a number of instruments, and that too is something that often goes over the years, and it's something that I regret. I was told I would regret giving up the piano, and I guess I do.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there for now. We're getting lots of texts in on this, which I'll bring you in the next hour. Now though, it's time for a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.